I don't know. It might take me a long time to figure it out. I still puzzle over some problems with cats when I was a kid. When we were, oh, let's see, we landed at that church when I was in the fourth grade, and I left there when I graduated from high school. And I guess it was probably about, seventh grade or thereabouts. The church building was a refurbished apartment house, an old apartment building, and they knocked out all the dividers and made the auditorium in it. It was a cheap way to go. It didn't cost much money, and I guess it probably cost as much as a new building by the time it got done. But anyway, underneath it, the men of the church decided, you know, they set it up. We had to have a place to meet in a hurry. They were meeting in American Legion Hall, and everybody was getting tired of coming in Sunday morning, cleaning up after the drinking and the dance from the night before. And so they started the building to have an auditorium, first thing first. So they built it, and actually they decided they needed to have a basement after the top was all done. And so they got a conveyor belt from a potato outfit in town. One of the that worked was one of the managers of the outfit, and his father-in-law owned it. And so they brought it, and the men of the church would have work days, and we'd all go down underneath there and shovel dirt until everybody get tired, and then it'd sit for months, and then, you know, a typical Baptist church project. But anyway, what happened? They got one, during one of those lulls, the neighborhood cats found a couple holes underneath the around the foundation, and they would go underneath the church. And the soil was nice and soft in the area up underneath the platform, real sandy, soft kind of soil. So we had a terrible time with cats, because if they weren't screeching and howling underneath the church during service, you didn't really want to give an altar call in some of those instances, because the cats used the soil and you could smell it coming up through. And the preacher's kids got the chance to go out and try to get rid of the cats. You know, it was sport. They wouldn't let us use anything more than homemade bows and arrows and that sort of thing, or rocks or anything we could throw at them. But we used to crawl around on our bellies chasing cats, trying to get rid of them so that the services would be a little bit better. And it's, I look back and I said, Lord, how come you let that kind of thing happen? Because it was repulsive, really. Bottom line, repulsive. And I still don't know. And at that time, I didn't know anything about spiritual life anyway. And I thought it was great sport. And I didn't really care too much as to whether it stunk or not. But I looked back at it and I thought, no, I look at it from a pastor's eyes. And that's really a bit of a problem. We used to plug the holes up and those cats would pull a box loops to get in there. There were some big old toms that get in there, and I often wondered if we left a couple other cats in there to give them a drive to get in there, but anyway. But that problem, how do you? You know, that's a thing that's affected the whole church. In the character of Christ, we look at it like he does, and, you know, oh, yeah, those things, I'm thankful for them, but I sure don't know why they're there. Okay, next stage, 5:18 of 1 Thessalonians. These are crucial passages, and whoa, that old clock just got a problem. I know it jumped, but that jumped faster than usual. 5:18. Okay. 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so, in what circumstance? In everything. Why? Because this is the will of God. That answers the questions that I've given you in your notes. Very crucial passage again. Colossians 3:17, and we'll have to break after this. I want a good break spot. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the character of the Lord Jesus. There's our word name, that word name again. While giving thanks, God and the Father by him. You notice I retranslated that just a bit differently from what you have. And whatever you do in word or deed, you could translate deed work, as I did in your notes. I didn't do that just for alliteration. It is a legitimate translation. Do all in the name or the character of our Lord Jesus Christ while giving thanks. While indicates simultaneous action. How? Whatever you say, you can be thankful. While whatever you do. And that's neat. When you're talking to another believer and you're being used of God to edify them or to encourage them, you can be thankful. Because you know that's what's happening. That's one thing I've been thinking about since Friday. Sitting down, and on Sunday night I mentioned it in service for those who were here, but taking individuals aside and sharing with them those words that would be an encouragement, not knowing they need it or not. Sitting down with the deacons had a role in the service. And so Orrin has three deacons, and I had a chance to talk to two of them. And to sit down and say, "Brother, the Lord really used you to be a blessing not only to me, but to the rest of the saints who were here and other pastors. To see the love you have for your pastor, to see the unity that you showed in your participation in the service, and your desire to do your best for God." I said, "That was a testimony, and you thank God for it just as much as you thank God for everything else that's happened here." And these fellows, they've been sweating it out. They'd been there all morning trying to figure out what they were going to do and how they were going to do it, and they were all on pins and needles. And to sit down and say, "You got glory for your God." That's a blessed thing, and that's a word. And it was easy to be thankful and say, "Lord, I'm thankful that I can do this, and I'm able to share." And I knew that it was a blessing to them. I mean, there's not a bit of doubt that the Lord led me to say what I did in that case, or in those cases, and to share with other individuals. So that's a word. Now, I wasn't talking to unbelievers at that point. And when you talk to an unbeliever and give them the gospel, and you know the Spirit of God is working through you, so you do it properly, you can be thankful every minute you give it. That's a neat part of it. To be able to know. A lot of people say, "Oh, you want to know that this is what the Lord's doing in your life." Hit and miss Christianity and hit and miss testimony. Hit everybody you can, because you might happen to hit somebody that is elect, that kind of thing. And you're spiritual, you just have that chance to know, this is where the Lord is. And you just revel in it, in the Word, and in the work. Work is another area. When you're doing something for the Lord, or doing something anywhere as a spiritual believer, to know that this is where God wants me right now. I had a chance to talk to a brother last night on the phone, and to try to encourage him. And to say, "Listen, God has you where you are working in that job right now for a reason. Be thankful for that. Even though there are other things you'd rather do, be thankful in it." I won't give any more illustrations. But anytime, you know, whatever you're doing, as long as you know that's where God wants you, you're serving the Lord wherever you are. You don't have to ordained or licensed or anything else to serve the Lord. Every day you're in full-time Christian service as a saint. And if you're spiritual, you're functional. If you're not, you're the way it works. And so every day, and don't forget it. You know, you talk about clergy and laity. That's malarkey. That's not biblical. And so as you share in that area, it's fantastic. And so you're giving thanks while you're doing these things. Great. Just to be able to give thanks in whatever you're doing. And to be thinking about your God and what He means to you and what He's doing for you, and being available for Him to use you wherever. Go about life, you're giving thanks. Why? You can think of, I tend to get a little gimmick oriented, but not like some. But sometimes it's a good idea to have a method that stimulates you to be thankful, just to help you get used to doing it, because you get out of that habit. Because a lot of times, it's just we lose the habit of being having our mind set in a proper way. And having our reflective thinking on things above. So there are ways that you can do, things you can do in your life to say, get with it. Get your head right. Get your mind in the right direction. Have the biblical option. And each of you can probably think of something that you can use somewhere. You know, some ladies have a sign over their sink, or have a sign over the bathroom mirror. So the first thing in the morning, you have a chance to look at that instead of your face first, as a reminder. You know, a lot of little things. Well, Thanksgiving, you can see how important it is. I don't mind spending extra time on it. But next week, Lord willing, if you want to look at a lot of passages of Scripture, there are a bunch of them in this Thanksgiving section. I'm going to pick key ones, and we'll try to get through Thanksgiving next week, and I'll try to get some charts on praise out for you next week as well. Okay, any questions? Don't forget to wave me down when I go, because if I'm just like a train. If I get up ahead of steam, nobody slows me down. unless you wave. And I'll stop at any station. Okay, let's have a word of prayer then and be dismissed and move into an evening. We trust in the blessing of God because we shared the word. And Father, we're thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ, and we would trust that as we think on these things and these truths, that we might be encouraged and rejoicing because of so great a salvation and so good a God. We appreciate you for what you do for us. We see on every hand the provision of physical needs. And then when we think those things that we have in Christ, absolute perfection, a provision of spiritual that an Old Testament saint could never even fathom. Deserving though we be, our hearts are filled with gratitude. And we are thankful that as we think of all the many other areas of position, that bless us as we move in this year. We trust you protect those of us who travel, and then we trust that our thoughts might be for each of us as your word works itself out in our lives effectively. Your opinion of what your program is for us, and then we'll thank you. We pray that we might be encouraged as we think on those things that you've communicated to us to help us understand how our lives ought to be lived, and that we might be functioning as spiritual believers. We're thankful for the privilege of being thankful people, and may we, as a result of time spent here, be functioning in a biblical manner. And then we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, review. When we talk about Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving is 1/8 of all of the kinds of that a believer has. Pardon? Communication. Okay. See, I had to phrase my question different this time. And prayer is communication or communion. Now, we have an opportunity to share more than just, you know, communication, we're talking to somebody, but communion indicates we have something in common, and so we have that privilege to share. A lot of that in worship, when we're thinking in terms of what we have, what God has done, not so much the things He's provided, but we just kind of sit there and bask in the glory of our God and repeat back to Him those things He said about Himself and just revel in it. You know, it's like diving into the swimming hole for the first time in the springtime. Just so feels so good and it's so great, and that's the way we should be in this matter of communication of our thing, of all our communication as we relate to it. Now we're talking about Thanksgiving. What's the Greek word? Eucharistia. Okay, long word. Most of them aren't quite so bad. Eucharistia, which means what? It is, and tonight I'm deaf, so you'll have to speak up. I just came out of the nursery. I graduated. Okay, good grace. Give me a more technical definition. He's good grace. That's the backbone of it. The basic idea, we've looked at that already with that information right there. You with charis, 56 times in the New Testament. Okay, Thanksgiving is an expression of... What's that? Okay, an expression of what? A believer's appreciation. Okay, an expression of appreciation for benefits, for a thing, past, present, future. And so it's a thing that's provided, it's something that God has given us, and so we say, thank you, Father, for the thing you've done. There's a chorus that we used to sing, but it was not quite accurate. It was, thank you, Jesus. It should have been, thank you, Father, for all you've done, thank you, Lord. And for specific things, that's Thanksgiving. And so when we sing, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, that is a thing that He has done. Something is done. A work accomplished. Okay, now, Thanksgiving is an important part of our communication, and it's one that we use very, very frequently and should be if we are in a particular condition. What condition is that? I'm trying to rephrase my questions every week, and so sometimes they are a little fuzzy. If we're filled believers, yeah, that is an indicator of the fact of the fact we're filled believers, Ephesians chapter 5. Now, how often should we be thankful? Okay, give me that three-letter word that's so important. That is like they're yawning for me. Okay, all. Okay, now let's go through the alls here. Okay, the first area where we're to be thankful. For all things. Okay. For all things. In all things. And for all men. Okay, so you have three alls, tremendously important, and that's the core of what we're thinking about as we move through these areas of communication. Now, we left off on page 4 of the notes, and I want to move along. The place we left off is really letter F on the bottom of the page. Now, I want to survey these things because of time, and we have the opportunity to be thankful for things, and we live in an era when people don't particularly care what Scripture teaches, ironically enough. I mean, believers. If I can do what I want to do, I'm going to do it, whether Scripture teaches it or not, rather than be conformed to Scripture. And that's not right. And so as we come to Scripture with thanksgiving and all of our communication, we have the opportunity to expose our practice to what the Word of God teaches and say, do we match up? Do we line up? And if we line up, then great. If we don't, we need to conform. We need to get lined up with what Scripture teaches and match up. Now, one of the things that people do most frequently with the word thanksgiving is they're thankful for their food. That is the thing that happens in most believers' household most frequently. We have an opportunity to share a word of thanks in a mealtime. Is it biblical or not? Yeah, it is. And we can see it. And let's take a look at some of these passages, and we'll move quickly through these, I trust, just to get the picture that it is all right to be thankful for our food. I mean, after all, it is part of all things that we should be thankful for, but we can be specific. And Acts 27, verse 35 is the first passage we want to consider. Acts 27, verse 35. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. Now this is Paul, and this is Paul's siege with a storm, and ultimately shipwreck. And they were in a ship that was moving toward Rome, and in a tremendous storm, a ship that was used, it's like some of our cargo ships that have passenger space, which is sold along with the cargo. So you have a double income. And that's what they were doing, and there were prisoners aboard, and they were carrying merchandise as well. And Paul was in a storm, and they were all scared to death, and they lost their appetites. And it wasn't because they were seasick. They were just scared. I'm sure there were some that were seasick too. I'm sure some of those Roman soldiers that were aboard have felt a little wheezy. They were real live landlubbers. And some of the prisoners, but generally even the sailors didn't eat. So Paul, he said, thank you, Lord, for the food, and he ate it in front of them all, and it was just an indication of his tranquility of mind, and he ate after giving thanks for some food. And it was a testimony to some people, and he said, you eat too. You're going to need it because you're going to have to backstroke a while. And he knew there was a shipwreck, but he knew that God was going to preserve the lives of all who were there. So it's all right in that instance, and you don't have to be in trouble to be thankful for your food. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to skip the Romans passage, but 1 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, say that there were those who were requiring things that were not proper. In verse 3 it says, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. In other words, when you have ham for Sunday dinner, you can receive it with thanksgiving and not have a problem. I know, the law says you're not supposed to eat ham, but you can receive it with thanksgiving, and that's what he's saying here. Doesn't make too much difference. I never forget as a kid. There are high points of things that impress you as you grow up. And Lewis Talbot was the president of Biola. And there was an era, I can't quite remember when it was, but I was young enough to be very impressionable. And he went around with a film, or films. One was called Petra the Rose Red City of the Dead, and then there was another of his missionary travels. And he came to our community, and my dad was a Biola alumnus and my mom, and so we naturally were very much involved at that time. And so he came and he showed this film of his trip down into South America, I believe it was. And as a kid, the most fantastic part of the film was watching him eat the brains out of a monkey that had been cooked. And he very neatly made the comment. He says, "Well, I was an honored guest, and they brought me the head of the monkey, and they just..." And he said, "That was the best of the monkey." And they had a picture of him actually eating it. And as a kid, I was really impressed. I thought, man, how could you ever do it? But in that case, it was something very acceptable in that, you know, it was a thing of honor, the best portion. And he toughed it out because he didn't want to be offensive. And that's the kind of thing you could be, you know, you'd have to be very thankful in a hurry to get it down. But like I say, that's one of those things that I remember, some of the, I suppose, the gory things that I remembered as a kid. But I can still picture him there doing that. I really admired him that he had the nerve to do it from that point forward. I thought I'd like to climb in his pocket and go with him a few times in some of his excursions. Now, in 1 Corinthians 1:14, and I'm going to just survey down through here, and some passages I'm going to stop on so I can explain my alliterated outline, but we'll just explain some of these as we go. But in 1 Corinthians 1:14, I think it's important for us to be reminded of an area of thanksgiving sometimes we forget. Now, Paul is doing this in the area of baptism. And this is a passage that's rather interesting. There are those who say you have to be baptized to be saved. And I always think of this passage. Paul says, "I didn't come to baptize anybody." But you notice what he says in this passage. In the 14th verse, "I thank God that I baptized none of you, but two guys, Crispus and Gaius." Now, he was thankful for something that he hadn't done. And sometimes we don't happen to do that. Now, was that wrong? No. It was perfectly right for Paul to be baptizing individuals. But in this context, he could be thankful that he hadn't. Don't forget, most of those people in Corinth had been saved as a result of his ministry. And he hadn't baptized, but two of them that he could remember, something that he had not done. And I hope we get thankful frequently for things that are not or have not been in our lives. Sometimes even the good things we can be thankful for. Or else through, you know what happens, all the kids get sick, then you can't do it. Or you get sick. That's an old story. But, you know, it's hard to be thankful in that. But, you know, sometimes you think, well, I could have said something in this case, and I'm sure it would have contributed. And then afterwards you say, boy, am I ever thankful that I kept my mouth shut. We do that. I listened to a fellow on the radio last night, and he's in Guinness Book of World Records for being the world's greatest salesman. He used to sell new cars, every day. That's a chunk of change. He was making about $300,000 a year or more selling cars. And they interviewed him on the radio. And he said, "I don't sell..." Or, well, he was on one of these big shows on TV. I don't know which one. They asked him, how many cars... did you really sell those cars? And he said, "No, I didn't." And the guy in the talk show said, "Huh? You know, what's going on?" And he said, "I didn't sell cars. I sold myself." And that was how he did it. And he's around making money doing that now. Do that. But anyway, one thing he said... He said, in order to sell yourself, you have to know not when not to say some things. And that's really true. And that guy's an unbeliever. He sees the sensibility of it. And as believers, we need to be led of the Spirit in what we say and what we don't say. And lots of times it's wise to say to the Lord, "I'm thankful that I didn't say what I really wanted to. And that, you know, the shoe fits so well, I wanted to toss it to that person and make them wear it." And no, and we look at it later and we can be thankful for something we did not do. And lots of times, now I'm not, you know, it's easy to say, well, if I had gone to the store that time, there was an accident at that intersection and I'd have probably been there. And the Lord preserved that. That's easy. But there are other areas, the things that I didn't do and that you didn't do. So there's an illustration. Thought we'd stop at that because that's an area sometimes we don't think about. Being thankful of something we did not do. Okay, the next area is an expression of appreciation for remembering.
Philippians 1:3 is an illustration. We will not go there. When you sit down and you think of time past and what God has done for you in the past and people you've known, it's awful nice to be thankful for them and to say so. In your communication, I don't mean verbalize it necessarily. You're thinking about somebody and say, oh, that brother or that sister was super special and I sure miss them. I always think about it when Roy and Roberta come popping in. They came sneaking in on Sunday night, sneaking in the back door, literally. And they came in, and we've had some good, precious times together with the Lord, and to think of them, we think of them anyway. But when they came walking in, it was great, and feel opportunity to fellowship with them and share with them and see how things are going in their lives. And see the Lord is working and encouraging, but as you remember, how many people have touched your life as a believer? Believers, I mean. And as they've meant something to you because some way they've contributed. I have fond memories of people that when I am thankful for them, in some cases it's necessary for me to do some supplicating. No, we haven't got into that, but to cry out for help for them. I don't know what to think. I think of a guy in El Sobrano. And he was a tremendous encouragement early in his ministry, in my ministry. I don't think really realized how much of an encouragement he was. I remember I caught him one day, asking him to pray at the end of a business meeting. A dead silence. I assumed that he had no problems with praying and was somewhat embarrassed. And I called his name again and he just hung his head and then he looked at me and he shook his head. And I understood the message in a hurry and asked someone else to it afterwards. He came and talked to me and said he just could never get the nerve up to pray in public. And I didn't know anything about it. And I watched him grow. But the interesting thing is I watched him grow for probably 6 months. And I thank God for that growth I saw in 6 months. And probably fine. And so I can be thankful for that encouragement in that time. But then I didn't realize his life was so mixed up. But I can still be thankful. I love to hear people pray. And ones I like to hear pray are people that don't have a PhD in prayer. Some people say, you have to do this and that. I just like to hear people talk to the Lord. And I've got a lot of people I'm thankful for. I mentioned it. I've got 9 names going through my head in my minute. But I love to hear them just talk to the Heavenly Father. We can go on and on. You remember lots of folks. You know what I'm talking about. Good. Okay. Particular persons. Well, that doesn't just mean you remembered them. And there are a list of 6 passages here. Paul in Philemon remembers old Philemon, and he's just thankful for Philemon all over the place. And he comes to him in Philemon, and he says, Philemon, I love you as a brother in the Lord, and I'd like you to do something. And I'm thankful for you, for who you are. And I know there's some memory there, but for people. And I know it's awful hard to say, I thank the Lord for you. I try to encourage people, and I'll do it here too, when you like something that I teach or that I preach and the Lord uses it, before you ever thank me, you better thank Him first. Because that had better be the source of it. And if you understand it is coming from Him, you thank Him before you thank me. And if you think in that way, the credit goes the right direction. And I sure don't want it. I just as soon let the Lord have it. And once in a while, maybe some of you have done this, but I have the habit. If somebody comes up and says thank you, I say, well, you thank the Lord. And if they said I already have, I feel great. But for persons. But it doesn't hurt us not from time to time to say, I really thank the Lord for you. That's encouraging on it, even though you do. I know if you get in the habit, you thank the Lord so much for people, sometimes you think that they know it by mental telepathy. I mean, I do that. I just assume that for some reason. I'm talking to the Lord about them. I think I've talked to them, and I haven't. I mean, that's just the way we are as human beings. So that's an area. Then another area is when you hear a report, and again, I have illustrations of these from Scripture. When you hear a good word, Oh, I just, I got lots of hot, good off-the-press illustrations of that. I mean, like, Dennis and I had the chance to go down with the one. And to hear what was going on down there, there are so many things I'd like to, you know, you'd like to share. You know, or the report, to see the men of the church rally with Orrin and to stand with him and appreciate him. And I mentioned this in a class today, the chairman of the board of deacons had his ordination prayer. And he prayed a long prayer, and I could feel it in my arm. But every word that he prayed, he meant from the depths of his heart. And he prayed a better prayer than any of the 20 pastors that were standing on the platform. Really, he did. And it was because he had a measure of love for his pastor that the other pastors wouldn't have had. And he just really, he prayed for things that most of the pastors wouldn't have thought of. And I really, that was a thrill. Now, there's a report you should be saying, thank you, Father, to see that kind of thing happen. Roy and Jan. I think I mentioned it last time about that. A lady that I know that was there. And she just, you know, when she just loved them. That kind of thing. Well, you know, that just, you see that relationship of believers. And that's the kind of thing we pray for around here. For our assembly and for those who go out from us, that happened. And so there's some reports. And I can hardly wait when Rob and Adie show up. They're supposed to be in here, this month yet. They'll be floating through here a couple days. And I want to see what's happening up there. I've heard some things, but I'm always eager to get the eyewitness report first round and to see what's going on. So that's reports do that. And then Thanksgiving can be an expression of appreciation in a believer's conduct and for your conduct. When you're a fellow believer, did you ever think of thanking the Lord for that kind of thing? Thank you, Father, for putting me here for this reason. And, I'll give you an illustration. I shouldn't use myself as an illustration as often as I do, but I'm going to do it again. I had a pastor friend that I wanted to pick on. I've waited for a while to go and talk to him and encourage him. And it was in a different way than you'd think. He's a fellow that was at the church at Orrin's Inn now. And he was there for a while after Orrin had been there because he didn't move on. He's a retired fellow, and so he didn't have to go anywhere. And so he was in the church. And Orrin, whenever we talked or corresponded or seen them, said that the fellow had been very careful just to let Orrin be the pastor, the former pastor. And so when we got down to Grants Pass, that was one thing I'd hoped the Lord would permit me to be able to sit down and talk to him and say, I really think the Lord used you to encourage a young man in that, and I look for it. And so I did. I got a chance to do that with him. Went on, and he said, oh, that's just the way I do it. But he just appreciated that all over the place. I could just see the look on his face as he had he could say, I'm glad somebody cares that I did something right. And I could be thankful in that. Because, I've been praying for the opportunity for a long time. I didn't know when I was going to see him. And that's the only time I've seen him since Orrin's been down. In that, I could just be thankful. Because I knew it was a ministry that was encouraging him. Well, that's an illustration. And in it, I could do it. And I could think, oh, that was right. Because the Lord led me to do it. And I could think, I could be thankful in it. And you can do it. You don't have it. You know, that's not spectacular. But you have all kinds of things when you relate to it. Thanksgiving is an expression of appreciation for spiritual blessings. We don't have enough time to be thankful for the spiritual blessings we have. I mean, the ones we have in Christ. Wow. It says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, Ephesians. We just don't have time. And we're so busy learning them, we don't have time while we're learning them sometimes. When we see what God has done for us. And we have that chance to think about. And then as He does provide them, as you study the Word, as you think about the Word, you think about the Lord, you think about the work He's done, think about His provisions, those spiritual blessings. You sit in a church service and, I can't, it's beyond my comprehension, churches that always talk about a worship service. First of all, it should be a Thanksgiving service. It should be a praise service and a worship service. But normally, in most services, you should be involved with Thanksgiving and with praise. God, and there's always something new and fresh. you think of the last service you sat in when you really heard the word expounded and preached. And you think, there was this and this and this. And lots of times, that'll take care of the whole week for you. Because you're thinking about it, and you're just thankful and thankful and thankful and thankful and thankful about that one truth. Again, Scripture says it's okay, so let's do it. And that's why the list of passages. Then, thanksgiving is an expression of appreciation in the prophetic future. That's going to happen in the future. And again, because of the time, I'm not going to go and give you an outline of thanksgiving in the future, but it's going to be a large part of what we do. The 24 elders in Revelation will be involved, and they're our representatives. And they'll be involved in thanksgiving. And it won't stop. It's not something that's going to be terminated with the rapture of the church. We'll just keep on doing it. So, I'm not getting practice here. But we're going to spend a lot more time, and we're going to really do it right. We'll be more aware when we have those glorified bodies and minds that function in a little bit more alert manner, and we'll see more and more, and we'll be thankful more and more. And it'll be a fantastic ministry. As we're thankful, and that's a unique blessing. Well, I've kind of had to skim the cream again, just pick off the thoughts here, but there's a lot of scripture you can pursue here. It's the problem of getting through all of this to make sure you have a handle on enough of it to use it good. And so Thanksgiving seems like a basic thing, but it's so important. Well, when we talk about Thanksgiving, I have some review notes beside the chart, and these are just the key summary statement. It's for something. It always is for a thing. I'm down on M and on the bottom of 5. It always is for a benefit. So there's a thing involved, and so that's key. Then the next area is the fact that you have to be spiritual to be functional in that, and the irony of it is that's true of most forms, or all forms of communication, really. And then it's probably one of the most used of the 8 kinds of communication. One of the most used communications of all 8. That is supposed to be a T at the end of the MOS in the notes. Typewriter. I got a new typewriter and it had the same problem as my old one. And it costs a lot more money than the old one, so I don't know. I'm going to have to do something about that. I was working these charts and I had the same real problem with it. Okay, now this communication could be given to anyone in the Trinity, any person in the Trinity. So if you say, thank you, Jesus, make sure he did it. You know, a lot of folks will say, thank you, Father, for dying on the cross for me. You ever hear that? I have. I'm not knocking it. I mean, I know it's just folks just get in the habit. But they thank the Father for something he didn't do. And that's, you know, it's better to be accurate if we can do it. Oh. Okay. There is no single verse of Scripture that says that we are to be thankful to the Holy Spirit. I think the reason is, number one, the Holy Spirit as resident upon this earth, as is typical throughout the New Testament in particular, pushes himself into not a secondary place, but he's obscure. He puts himself into obscurity. You'll see passages that say praise to the Father and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit isn't involved at all. This carries over to praise. And so I think the reason is that he knew that we would abuse that. And so, because it does not say that we are not to be thankful to him, that is the basis for the implication. Yeah. But we don't major on it. Yes. Yeah. But because he does that, we know that he's making up a deficiency. We can thank him. But usually, a normal reaction is we thank the Father or the Son for their relationship in that area. Yeah. And so that's the reason. Mm-hmm. Give thanks to the Holy Spirit. Well, when you know that he has led you in your life in a particular area, and you could say thank you to the Spirit of God. Those that just do it all the time. And there are a lot of areas of the ministry of the Spirit of God. Another illustration is when you're studying Scripture and the light goes on, illumination, But if you get carried away and attribute everything that ever happens in your life to the Holy Spirit, sure, he's effectively accomplishing a lot of it, but it's because of the whole Trinity involvement. He is, remember back in John, the Son came to give the Father glory. The Holy Spirit comes now to give both the Son and the Father glory. Because there isn't permission by the implication, don't get carried away with it. Be biblical in your balance. And don't say thank you to the Spirit of God. I'm sure he's not grieved because of that. He's grieving other ways. But he sees it as he gives the glory to the other persons. So if you don't do it at all, fine. But it's permissible. I mean, if somebody's really hung up in the charismatic movement, I'm not going to tell them that. But they use it. And so I won't say that. I want to get them in the right order of things. But it's, like I say, Scripture doesn't prohibit it. So by implication, because it is given to the Spirit, with an emphasis, you have, I'm going to say about the same thing in praise. Okay. So that's the reason for that statement. It is necessary to be doing the will of God. That's part of doing what God desires in your life. If you're a spiritual believer, you're going to be thankful. And this is the will of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. 17? Right in there. There are those little verses in there. I get them all mixed up as far as their location. I can tell you where they're in the page. But that, you'll be doing the will of God when you're thankful. That's great. And then it's essential for the peace of God in the life of the believer. Philippians 4, 6. And do we need to go back and look at these? Those are key passages. And in fact, let me just go through the keys. Ephesians 5 tells you that the Holy Spirit is filling the believer, and as a result, you're thankful. That's an indicator of your filling. Then 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and of course Ephesians 5 tells you how often. Ephesians 5:18 tells you that's the will of God in your life, and then Philippians 4:6 also relates to the spiritual life when it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by thanksgiving," and so on. So you have a relationship there. When you get fidgety, when you're raising kids, that's a good place to get fidgety. You don't know what they're going to do from one minute to the next or where they are part of the time. You think you have them tied down and you know where they are, and then you find out they weren't there after all. That kind of thing. And you're a little concerned. I can think of a good illustration of that with my son. One night he didn't come home from school. And it was about 7 o'clock, and I thought, something is real. He was wrestling in the afternoon, so I was expecting him to be late, but not that late. And so finally I decided I better find out what was going on. The whole school was shut down. Nobody was around. I remembered the coach's name, and so I called to see if they were through wrestling. Well, naturally, his wife was home, and they'd had a tournament, but I didn't get the report from the son. And I was a little antsy, but I could say, well, Lord, thank you for letting me go through this kind of thing. I sure don't like to have to do this necessarily, but I know he's under your control. You're taking care of things. And the anxiety wasn't there. I knew the Lord was going to take care of it. And the odds were pretty good. He probably was off at some tournament. He has a good forgetter. And so that kind of thing. Well, any questions about Thanksgiving? More weeks? I'm trying to figure out how fast I can get there. No, it's not Thanksgiving. It's worship. You've got to be down on your knees and bowing toward Jerusalem every minute of the day. Well, I'm not going to give you too much. It's worship communication. Yeah. Okay. So you'll have to well explain what it means to be without ceasing so you won't have a guilty conscience. Okay. Good. Any others in Thanksgiving? You have a handle on it? It's pretty crucial, and I hope it's... I can say that about every one of them, I think. But that is an area... It's a positive side of it. Thanksgiving should be easy for us. Even though the race had a problem with Thanksgiving. Okay. Well, I want to just quick intro praise, and then we'll have to cut. We started very late tonight. And so, I hurt when I don't get my hour, so I'm going to fudge a little bit. Okay, praise the Lord is the next section. Praise. Let me say a couple things about praise, and I'll use an illustration, and I want to stimulate you to some thought, move you to one passage of Scripture, and then we'll go. Okay. Praise the Lord. You remember when you were kids? Lesser of that group. Kids now sing different songs. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Do you realize that's a statement of the same thing all the way through? Hebrew, hallelujah is praise to Jehovah, or praise the Lord. So really we're singing, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Now, is that praise? When I was in El Sobrante, for the parents in our school, and it was necessary for me to call him from time to time, as his kid kept me entertained. And the first time I called him, the phone rang, and I had the answer. Heard it lifted up, and the guy says, praise the Lord. And, you know, I was left without a word in my mouth. I didn't know what to say. He didn't say hello or anything. He just said, praise the Lord. And that's the way the guy always answered the phone. He had it. I had a background of that kind of thing somewhat. And I just didn't know quite what to say. And finally, after a little dead air, I said, well, this is Pastor Spurbeck. And then we went on. But a lot of folks think that when you say praise the Lord, that you are praising the Lord. And that's one of those circumstances. When you say it, you're not really doing it. If you're telling the Lord what you're doing, but you're not. Because it's not praising the Lord to say praise the Lord. And in fact, get a new habit if you do it. And there's nothing wrong with it, really. But if you do it, get a new habit so you get the order of things right. When something happens, what should you say? Over Thanksgiving. Thank the Lord. Yeah, thank the Lord. Yeah. And so, something happens and somebody, they say, this is what happened. This guy got saved and we've been praying. Thank the Lord. They look at you like, huh? What are you saying? You say, well, I'm thankful for that. Now, that starts you thinking, you see. Because if you say thank the Lord, then you're going to say, okay, I'm going to thank him. And so you say, I appreciate the fact that you saved me, Lord. Now, how are you going to get off over into this thing of praise? Well, I have to figure it out so it will help us understand it. Because just saying praise the Lord isn't going to do anything outside of knock around some air molecules as those sound waves go through it. Because the Lord, it doesn't make... I don't really think he hears that. I don't really do. I don't really think he hears that kind of thing. It makes other saints feel good and that sort of thing. But if you say thank the Lord, it makes people think. And that's more accurate, really, because we're thankful for the thing. Now, when that person got saved, you can say, Lord, I praise you because I love that person because as a spiritual believer, I prayed for him and the Spirit led me to do it. I interceded for his salvation, gave him, and I see your love. Now, let me give you a passage of Scripture. Translate it, and then you can go home and think about it a week. Unless the Lord comes first, and then you won't have to learn any more of it. So Hebrews 13 and verse 15. This is a starter. It's right at the top of the page of your notes. Blurry and fuzzy though it may be. 13:15. Now, let's see. Carol was in on the Priest of the Believer series. She's the only one here tonight that was there. So this is a review for her because there's a definition of praise right here in Hebrews 13:15. Now, let me read it to you as you have it in the King James. And using, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually to God, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. You see what that definition does? It confuses thanksgiving with praise. Now, if that verse was accurate, then we wouldn't, we're wasting our time in our study because we're making distinctions. Now, the verse doesn't do that. Now, you have this up here in your notes, and I've given you the definition right there in the notes. Now, I'm not going to look at my notes. I'm just going to look at the text and translate it for you, and that will give you an indicator of it. Through him, therefore, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise always to God. That is, or this is, the fruit of the lips confessing the name of him, or confessing his name. Now we've got a new description. Now, we're not really confusing another form of communication here. Confession. No. We're confessing his name. So when we praise God, the word confession is a Greek word, and you're going to learn it, so I'll use a Greek word. Homologeo. Hamas is like homogenized milk. Makes homogenized milk any different than anything else. Homogenized means that you have the cream and the milk mixed in a solution that is inseparable. They're the same thing, right? That's the idea of homogenized. Hamas, the same. And the word logeo, logos, is word, or to say, or to speak. So it means to speak or say the same thing. That's the word confession. Now, we'll get into that in more detail when you're confessing your sins. But here it's important. Because when we praise the Lord, we say the same thing concerning His name, His character. And that just tells us an awful lot. And I've got a list of things out of it. Where is it? There it is. Six things you can learn out of that verse. But I'll show you next week. Six things out of this verse to tell you about how that works out. So when someone is saved, like I say, and you think about it, and what does God think when He saves that person? He thinks, I love. That's part of His character. That's an attribute, and it's directed to God. And you think, oh, God, I'm thankful for His salvation. And I praise You for Your love. Maybe you might praise Him for a few other things. He might be one of those hopeless cases that you probably wish you'd have crossed off your prayer list a dozen times and didn't. Because you couldn't have a good conscience do it. Ever have that? I know some people I've given up on. I didn't think the Lord would ever save them. I figured they were just, they were so far down the tubes and the Lord saved them. And then you've got some other parts of God functional. You know, you've got a God that's taken a pretty rough character and shaped him up. And it shows a lot of things. It shows the power of God. You think of the power of God when He saves. I mean, sure, He does that all the time. But you can see it really exhibited when you see that transformation that comes in some of these people that are saved. They're gloriously saved just like you were. That's kind of fun. Just you, just me. When we're saved, we're gloriously saved no matter who we are. And so we look at that and we see the power of God. We'll go through this list of, I mean, get these areas of praise down, I trust. But again, don't forget, just because you say praise the Lord doesn't mean you're praising the Lord. You have to do it. Why is it? Or you can do it in your mind, and you can think of who God is and what He is and what His character, or what part of His character has been evidenced in the thing you've been thankful for. Killer dealer. A real live one. When you realize that you can think about your God, and not just for the thing. I suppose as parents, that's something that we dream of. Oh, it's nice to have kids be thankful. But the biggest thing in the world is if we look forward to a day when the kids will come up and say, oh, you're sure a good mom and a good dad. You know, you think we dream about it. Sometimes it never happens. Sometimes it might. In some cases, I'm afraid that we'd need to call the local hospital and make a reservation for the emergency room because of the shock of it all. But like I say, we dream about that kind of thing. Sometimes they come and they talk to us about our character. Our Heavenly Father feels much the same way. It would really be great if we could use human illustrations of praise and relate it to, you know, like a parent-child thing. But our fellow believers, it becomes the normal thing to do. But as the Spirit of God fills us, we can. That's a survey. I just want to stimulate you to some thought in that area tonight. And we'll move right along in this area of praise. And I think it may be a benefit to you. But key passage here is Hebrews 13:15, and it's got a whole pile of important information for all of us as we share it. So if you want to look at it, but don't forget, I've got a translation at the top of the page. Don't take your King James. It's not carelessness. And as a result, some folks say they're both one and the same. I've got a book on prayer that does that, as I was looking at a week or so ago. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful tonight for the opportunities again of study. May the Spirit of God have impressed in our minds those things which will be important in our daily lives, not just tomorrow, but until Jesus comes. We want to be those who are pleasing to you and functional glory. And we know that wherever we are and whatever we do, that's always possible. But we trust that we might realize that any Christian world that we live in today has a potential. So we commit them to you and pray that you hear her return with the word or even of her family.